From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
What do we want?
We don't know.
When do we want it?
Also unclear.
Why do we want it?
Because it was forwarded to us in an email, so it must be true.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That pretty much sums up whatever happened this weekend. What was that? The No Kings protest, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, an emphasis on fruity, because I have never seen anything quite like what we saw over the weekend. And I don't know what the protests were like in your area. I was actually in Los Angeles. And I did not see a lot of protesters there. As a matter of fact, the images coming out of Boston, you know, MSDNC, now known as PMS Now, they actually used old footage from some other protest years ago and tried to pass it off as, you know, a live scene coming out of Boston where you had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And that simply was not the case. Good to have you with us today, and I am curious if you had one of these No Kings protests in your community, in your city, your neighborhood. I want you to call in, and you've got to describe what you saw. But I will say this: basically, in the Memphis area, they had one, and they were expecting 5,000 people. 5,000 people are expected to converge in Memphis and protest Donald Trump. Oh my God! The media was going nuts. So then they had the protest, and it was like thousands of people, and then it was several thousand people, and then it was, okay, maybe a couple of hundred people. And I think probably about 500 people ended up showing up. So it was a dud. And I don't know what it was like where you were, but we had mostly elderly people, infirm, and they were wandering around. Remember, was it the G8 summit when Joe Biden started just wandering off into the field of lilacs?
Where am I? Who am I? Where am I? Joe,
come back. That's what was happening at these protests. A lot of these people were so elderly and so infirm, they had no minds, and they were just wandering around with their walkers and stroll. It was just so bad. It was not good. So you had all the elderly people. You had the big, morbidly obese gals with the nose rings and the magenta hair. And then you had their soy boy gay friends. And that was pretty much it. And it was all white. That's what got me, at least in our area, which we're a majority minority city, and it was an all-white crowd. And I'm just curious, have you noticed something about the libs? These libtards, they really don't try to shy away from their racism. They sort of wear it on their sleeve. And I say that because these protests against Trump sending in the National Guard and Trump cracking down on crime and all these things they were out there marching about, they never do these protests in the neighborhoods where the crime is actually happening. I mean, if you would go into some of these crime-infested neighborhoods around the country, they're like, thank God for President Trump. Many of them are saying, you know what, Mr. President, give me a tank and I'll patrol the neighborhood for you. I mean, that's how grateful people are. But again, the media, they don't want to cover that story. They've got a narrative to play, and they're not going to deviate from that playbook. But when you go to Black Twitter and you go to Black TikTok and Instagram, it is a Trump love fest. I think if Trump were to run again, I think he would double whatever vote he got from the minority communities. No doubt about it. So anyway, these people, they have no idea what they were out there protesting. And again, these are all paid protesters. As a matter of fact, it was in New York City. Somebody told me about this at the event I was at in Los Angeles. They said, Starnes, it was a two-hour rally, and as soon as that 2 hours is up, boom, everybody went home. And you know why? Because they were only getting paid for like 2 hours of work. So these are all paid protesters. So I want to play some I want to play some audio here. This is Congressman Tim Burchett, and he just nailed it. Said, here's who Donald Trump really is. And Trump was getting a little frustrated, you know, by all of this. And I don't blame him because he is no king. And here's the thing, folks, and just hear me on this. If Donald Trump really was a dictator, you would not have been allowed to do what you did over the weekend. All of you would be in some sort of a gulag right now. That's where you would be if, in fact, Donald Trump was a king. Now, if you want to talk about what a dictator really looks like, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about the time when there was a Democrat president named Joe Biden who shut down our churches, who shut down our businesses, who shut down our schools, who sent in the police SWAT teams to shut down birthday parties in the backyards of people, who used helicopters to make sure, hovering over neighborhoods to make sure that people were literally not grilling out in their homes. Are you ready for this? You want to talk about a king or a dictatorship? Let's talk about the administration that sent police and Coast Guard into the waters to arrest people who were surfing or tanning on the beach. You want to talk about a dictator? Let's have that conversation. Let's talk about the time they used bulldozers to fill in skateboard parks in California so the kids wouldn't be able to skate during the China virus. So if you want to have that conversation, we can have that conversation. Oh, by the way, you want to have that conversation? Great, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about the administration that sent in FBI agents to spy on Catholics inside their church houses, or the administration that sent the FBI to stage pre-dawn guns-drawn raids on the homes of pro-lifers. Or what about the Obama administration using the Internal Revenue Service to target evangelical Christian ministries and pro-life groups? Barack Hussein Obama, who ordered the Internal Revenue Service to audit Billy Graham, America's pastor, the only time in the history of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusade and that association, rather, that the only time they were ever audited was during the Obama administration when they took a side for traditional marriage. So if you want to talk about kings and dictatorships, we can have that conversation. I'm happy to have that every freaking day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. But you're going to do this to Donald J. Trump, the man who is literally restoring freedom in America? Don't come to me with that BS, folks. Not today. Not today. So Tim Burchett was at an event Sunday in Middle Tennessee, and here's what our good buddy from East Tennessee had to say. Take a listen.
Judge for being here. Look, folks, we got a lot of work to do. We've got a great man in the White House right now. He's not a king. He understands it. He loves his country. He doesn't have to be there. He literally took a bullet for this great country. If you can imagine, I read my Bible, and I know a lot of people say, well, that's not literally what it means, but literally, the Bible says that, you know, God knows if a sparrow falls from the sky or knows how many hairs are on his head. A couple of y'all, you doesn't have to count too many on you, but you're all right. Tell everybody that's a solar panel for a think tank, all right? They're good. But if God knows all that, surely he had his hand on our great president at that time. Look, I've said this many times. Dadgum, I don't want him teaching my daughter's Sunday school class, but I love him at Pennsylvania Avenue, don't y'all?
Amen.
He never sleeps. I don't know how he does it. We were outside the Oval Office in the Roosevelt Room, and he walked out, and he said, hey, Byron Donaldson was inside. Hey, Byron, you're really doing good in Florida, raising lots of money. Think you're going to win? He said, thank you, Mr. President. And then he walks by me, and he goes, hey, Tim, I really like seeing you on television. I'm like, what world am I in? And then I'm back in the Oval Office, and he's giving us all these challenge coins. And let me tell you, it is the biggest, most beautiful challenge coin. It looks like a dadgum manhole cover. That thing is a monster. And he leans over to him and he goes, Tim, I really like watching you on CNN. And I said, why is that, Mr. President? And he said, because every time you're on, they fire somebody.
That's true. By the way, and Dylan, you've seen it. The challenge coin that the president gave me, the thing is like, it's like you can put it on the side of a car.
It is big and beautiful.
It's big and beautiful. It's huge. Huge. Oh, by the way, so to that point, President Trump is catching fire because of a video that he shared. Dylan, have you seen this one? The Top Gun video?
Oh, yeah.
Where Trump's in the fighter jet. King Trump, it's written on the side. And there he is. He's in the cockpit. He's wearing the crown. And he is flying his jet over Midtown Manhattan. And he is dumping a load on the massive crowd of protesters there to the tune of Danger Zone.
I love that he's just now finding AI. It's so funny.
It's like a kid in a candy store.
It really is.
But here's one of the local headlines. I love this. Trump post AI video dumping brown liquid on No Kings protesters. Brown liquid, people. Brown liquid. All right, calm yourself. It was not brown liquid. It was poo. It was poo. Much like your reporting. Diarrhea of the mouth. God bless President Trump. I know there are so many people, even conservatives. Well, I just don't think that's very presidential. You know what? The guy took a bullet in the head. Shut the hell up. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I've got something very exciting for you. The perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. Oh, my Lord. These libtards are losing their minds over this King Trump Top Gun video, which I got to tell you, the president's got game. He's got skills. And the video, and we're going to post this over on our website, but it's basically President Trump being Top Gun with the helmet, and he's dropping the load of fertilizer over New York City. Now, I'm getting some text messages here, Dylan, and I may need some clarification. I'm being told, actually, this may not have been poo, but it may have, in fact, been either chocolate milk or pudding.
Mm.
Who doesn't love pudding?
Well, if it's going to get dropped on you, I don't know. What would you prefer?
Well, you know what? The blue, every time I wash my car, mm-hmm. I get the birds doing the flyover.
Yes.
So I got no problem if President Trump is emulating the birds.
I wouldn't mind pudding at all.
Pudding is tasty. And then do a second, you get the initial round of bombings, and then you come back with the whipped topping.
Yeah. So second AI video coming soon, probably.
I love that. And then cherries, if you really want to. Yeah. Just drop the cherry bomb, baby.
The full dessert.
The cherry bomb. So look, here's the deal. I was able to think about this and analyze this during the commercial break, and many of you may say, Todd, that wasn't very long. How do you do that? Ladies and gentlemen, do not try this at home. This is what we do. We are radio professionals, so we're able to think and analyze in real time at speeds unknown to mankind. Going back into the far reaches of my brain, I seem to remember that there was more fertilizer spewed into our living rooms from Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden than whatever Donald Trump dumped over the good people of Manhattan. And the AI video, it's not real, people. And I say that because this was literally a question. Someone, someone in the press corps literally asked this question just moments ago.
That the president of the United States over the weekend released a video of him pooping on the American people.
The president uses social media to make the point. You can argue he's probably the most effective person who's ever used social media for that. He is using satire to make a point. He is not calling for the murder of his political opponents. And that's what these people are doing. I mean, in one of these photos, I think there's a picture of the president hanging in effigy by a noose on one of these, one on the far end. It's unconscionable. Look, we America is built on the idea of free speech. You have the right to protest. Of course, we jealously guard that. I mean, Chip and I are attorneys. We've defended that right in the courts. But what they're doing right now is different. They are trying to incite violence. It's not funny. You don't mock a president who has already had two failed assassination attempts on his life. This is not a game. And the idea that communists would be supporting this is unconscionable to us.
Well, the idea the Speaker of the House had to answer a question about this is beyond me. It's beyond me. By the way, I've been getting some mail, and a lot of you folks are upset over this. You're saying it is not presidential, that Donald Trump is overstepping, and he should not be mocking the libtards of America, and he should not be dumping poo or feces or excrement on his political enemies. Well, Trump told us at the Charlie Kirk, remember the Charlie Kirk Memorial, the Presidential Medal of Freedom thing, remember when he said he just has a hard time. He does not like to forgive his enemies. He would much rather drop poo on them. And that's what he did. But some of you are really upset over this, and you're saying this is beneath the dignity of the White House. This is just unacceptable. And I'm getting some messages from the sweet church ladies. Tom, this just breaks my heart, you know, because Donald Trump, you know, he's our president. And Todd, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I don't think Jesus would do that. What would Jesus do? Well, to the church ladies of America, I say this. I think Jesus would have been Donald Trump's wingman. I mean, he did turn over the tables in the temple, so it's not that far of a stretch, right? I mean, with modern technology being what it is. I'm just saying. But good for President Trump. He's really angered a lot of folks, and I love it. They're triggered by this. And you know why? Because they know that he's making a difference. We're going to get to Charles in just a moment because he's got a firsthand report of what the No Kings rally was like in his area. And I want to hear from you if you went as well. And if you've got a problem with Donald Trump and his sense of humor. My only concern is that politics is going to be really, really dull when Donald Trump leaves office. Right? So enjoy it while you can, America. That's all I can say. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And just in case, and we're going to get into more of this after the spot of the hour break here. But if you notice something about these protests over the weekend, and there were a lot of them, no doubt about that, a lot of these protests, not as well attended as they thought. And I will say this, who in the world thought it was a good idea to stage a protest on game day during the middle of college football season? Who thought that was a good idea? But I will say this, all of those people were able to protest. Not a single person got shot. Not a single person got beat up by a conservative. They were able to protest. Unfortunately, as conservatives, we don't have that luxury. Not in this country. Not with those people on the other side. Hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back. A little bit of President Trump action there. That's what the president was playing on his sortie over New York City. Apparently, Dylan, some of our listeners are not there. Again, I'm telling you, a lot of people are upset with Trump over this video. Dave from North Carolina, Todd and Trump need to grow up and stop being petty, junior high childish, and making fun of people. Need to talk about real issues like child trafficking. Well, what do you think we've been trying to do, Dave? And you got to lighten up a little bit, pal. Donald Trump is rescuing thousands and thousands of children. Thanks to, we've had 45 rescued in Memphis just in the couple of weeks that the National Guard's been here. That's because of Donald Trump. Bob says Trump should wear a Superman costume for Halloween. No. Trump needs to come out on the balcony, the Truman balcony, with full royal regalia. That's what King Donald the First. And Queen Melania. That's what I would do. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. So, Charles, is this right? You actually went to a No Kings protest.
Todd, I did. My inquisitive nature just wouldn't let me stay away. I had to go see it for myself. And I'll give you the update. But let me just start out by saying, expecting people that don't know the difference between a man and a woman to actually know the difference between a president and a king is asking too much. The rally, the protest, took place about 2 o'clock here in Cornelius on Lake Norman. And I was driving down Catawba Avenue, and on both sides of the road, I'm going to say there was about 1,000 people in about a 3/10 of a mile area. And they were holding up their signs, resist fascism, say no to the dictator. They had cartoon drawings of Trump. Some of them were sitting on these, like, it looked like something you'd put in a swimming pool, like a Donald Duck float or something like that. But I'm going to say that 80% of that crowd, Todd, was over the age of 60, and probably about the same percentage was female. And I saw some very aggressive signs, some that were actually promoted violence. I saw a man probably in his 70s in a nice convertible. He had a sign in his car that said 8647, and you know what that means. I saw another young woman, probably in her 30s, had another sign that said they want 1776. Let's give them 1793. And for people that don't know the significance of the year 1793, that was the start of the French Revolution when they were guillotining everybody. And then I actually rolled my window down and talked to some of them. I asked them, I said, so what are y'all out here for? And he said, well, no kings, no kings. I said, well, we don't have a king. He's a dictator. And then I drove down a little further. I probably rode up and down the street maybe 4 times, about an hour because it was so crowded with traffic. And I saw a sign that said, protect, save democracy. And so I rolled down the window and I said, save democracy from what? What are you saving democracy from? She said, Donald Trump. And I said, well, actually, democracy worked pretty well in 2024. Donald Trump debated Kamala Harris and shared his vision compared of America, you know, with hers. And the American people had a chance to weigh and measure that, and they voted for Donald Trump. And by the way, how do you? What about the fact that the person who was the Democratic nominee in 2024 did not receive one single vote from Democratic voters? She was appointed by party leadership. Is that not more authoritarian and dictatorial than Donald Trump receiving 77 million votes? And Todd, all they would do, rather than try to, you know, engage you in debate, they just waved at you and said, have a nice day, and that was it.
No, they don't, because they have no argument. And many of them have no idea why they are even out there, Charles. This is all for a narrative for the media, and they want people to think that there are these massive protests against Trump, when in fact, an overwhelming number of people in this country actually love what Trump is doing, and most of us were actually watching college football on Saturday.
Well, and that's what I was doing. That's exactly what I was doing, Todd. But, you know, I drove down there just to see if I would, you know, would recognize anybody. And I saw one woman that I knew. But everybody else, and I've lived here for, you know, over 20 years, I did not recognize one face. So I don't know if they were coming in from the outside, or maybe these are just people that, just like during COVID, just stayed in their houses and never got out. I mean, I don't know. But, I drove away from that protest just thinking that we are so far apart from the left. And I just don't know if that gap is bridgeable. I really don't know.
Well, I don't think it is, Charles. And let me say this, and I'll explain this to folks here. The other side, all those people you saw out there this weekend, they want to kill you. They would rather you were dead. This is, and I am painting with a broad brush intentionally, because no one is condemning the violent rhetoric that was on display at every single one of these protest marches. They want conservatives dead, period. And Charles, you cannot compromise with that sort of an argument. You can't even have a debate with that sort of argument, because they don't want it a debate. They either want you to shut up or they're going to shoot you.
That's exactly right. Just like that sign that said 8647, and it wasn't just Donald Trump that they're saying that to. They're saying it to me. They're saying it to you. They're saying it to all of the MAGA base. But Todd, these people don't give a damn about democracy.
No.
All they care about is an outcome. And if they can't get their outcome, then in their minds, what that means is, hey, democracy failed, and any means we have to use to rescue it and save it, even if it includes violence and murder, then that's justified. And that's the message that they're communicating to these people. They don't know what democracy or fascism is.
All right. Charles, yeah. Got to leave it there, my friend. I will say this about the protest over the weekend. Those protests were sponsored by the Communist Workers of America. So there's a reason why they're creating this unrest in the country. And this is going to go on for a very long time, because we have had a generation, and Charles is right. When you look at all the protests out there, it's mostly overwhelmingly women and elderly people. But these women have been weaponized. They're feminazis. And even though we call them libtards and they're morons, they still are smart enough to know how to go out there and get weapons and target all of us, which is why whatever happened at Palm Beach International Airport yesterday is incredibly disturbing. And of course, that news coming from Fox, where they found what was believed to be a sniper's nest about 200 yards away from where President Trump gets on board Air Force One. It had a direct line of sight from the tree where this deer stand was located, or this hunter's stand, as they were calling it, and Air Force One. Now, we've been looking at a lot of the photos and the topography of that area, and first of all, you're not allowed to hunt. There is no hunting in there. Some people are saying, well, it's for bow season, so maybe you had guys out there with the bows that were shooting. No. There's no hunting in that area, period. I mean, you've got a lot of aircraft. And again, the idea that apparently this has been up for months and the Secret Service just now found it, that in and of itself raises even more questions about President Trump's safety. So yesterday, if you noticed, when President Trump arrived at Palm Beach International Airport, They actually had him rush up the shorter stairs and get him out of there. Security was incredibly tight yesterday. But this is insane. The reality is there are people that are hunting our president. There are people that are hunting conservatives. And it's incredibly evil. And that's not going to go away anytime soon. I want you to listen to this woman. They interviewed a woman at one of these rallies, and she's so clueless. And in one breath, she's talking about, oh, I'm just such a nice, sweet, little, innocent Karen, and I just wouldn't hurt a fly. And Charlie Kirk is a monster. He's evil. Take a listen.
We need to get ourselves together, and we might even need to be a little bit meaner. Because the Republicans don't mind being mean.
And by mean, what do you mean? Do you mean protesting? Do you mean...
Maybe we have to, I don't know, stop being so nice.
Because you seem like a pretty nice lady.
I'm a pretty nice lady, but I can be pretty mean, too.
Okay, and I have to ask this because people on the other side are going to say that they feel like the Democrat Party has been mean. Recently, with Charlie Kirk being assassinated,
Charlie Kirk is a piece of garbage. Of course we were mean. I am so tired of people saying, oh, but, you know, it's a terrible thing. No, Hitler is dead. I'm glad Hitler's dead. Evil people have no place in my world. He was a hateful human being. It was disgusting, the things that he said and did. I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I have to point my energy in other directions.
Wow. That's what we're dealing with here, people. And that's why you have to be incredibly, incredibly careful. And you always have to watch your six. You know, Dylan, I forgot to ask you about this, but you may know, because but this has never happened to me, but it happened Friday. I had to rush out of here. I was off to Memphis International Airport to catch the flight to L.A., and I got there a little bit early, actually way early. So I went over to the Delta Sky Club and piddled around there for a little while, and then decided to walk to the gate. And then I get this alert from my iPhone telling me that I'm being tracked. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out who in the world at the airport is actually tracking me.
I don't know what that is. Did you figure it out?
No. And I do need to figure this out because it really sort of had me unsettled. And I'm Googling, trying to find out how did somebody slip, you know, one of those things where they can track you, you know, in a bag or, you know, and I was looking through the bag. I couldn't find the Apple tags. The Apple tags.
Yes. You get notifications for those kind of, that's a thing.
Do
you have one of those tags?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's concerning a little bit.
At least not that I know of. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking and I'm Googling and I'm realizing, they go, sometimes, you know, criminals use these to target people. And I'm thinking, geez, so I got back about midnight last night and I'm in the garage. You know, it was kind of like, you know, Deep Throat, all the King's Men. And I hear somebody, a car screech, and I'm turning, and I'm like, somebody following me? I don't know what that's all about. But you know what? I hate this, and I hate it because we have to live like this because of these damn leftists out there, and these liberals are unhinged. And you never know when one of them is just going to come off on you, try to run you over, stab you, shoot you, or blow you up.
You need security.
This is our reality in America.
Yeah, that's true.
Sad. And it is sad, and what we need to do, and I'm just going to say this about the Charlie Kirk thing. I'm tired of the administration pussyfooting around here. We've got to start playing hardball. And by hardball, I mean when this guy is found guilty of murdering Charlie Kirk, he needs to be executed, and it needs to be a very public execution and a very painful execution. And it needs to be broadcast on every cable television station in America. Every network news station in America, and the American people, this generation, and there's new survey data out there that shows a shocking number of young liberals believe that violence is mandatory to stop speech that you disagree with. We've got to send a message to that generation that this sort of thing is not tolerated in America. That's not how we do things here in America. But if we don't do that, I'm really concerned about the future. And the reason why is that lady you just heard, she didn't look like one of these purple-haired, you know, I don't know, love childs of Barney the Dinosaur. She actually looked like a regular person that you would run into down at the, I don't know, the country club or Whole Foods. I'm just saying. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Coming up a little bit later, I'll tell you about my weekend with Eric Trump. We had just a great time. And John Voight popped in. That was a surprise to all of us. And he's just a super great guy. And we'll share some of how all that went down coming up in the next hour. I do want to go to the phones, though. Crosby, Texas. Quinn is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Quinn. What's going on?
Oh, nothing but I just want to tell you what you just say a little while ago, and I totally 100% agree with you. We got to be hard-bought with these lunatic liberals. And about the Charlie Curtin, I'm very big fans of him. It broke my heart when I heard that happen. I watched that program, and it killed me. But the guy, the murder, Charlie Curtin, he needs to be public. When you execute him, I wouldn't mind to do it. What that the squad? Give me a gun. I wouldn't mind to do it all. Let me do it. My husband's called me. I'm a sick person. I said, I'm going to shoot him to part. It's so painful. Then he wouldn't, nobody forget that. It's make me sick. It make me feel. This liberal, we got to do something about them.
And Quinn, just to remind our listeners here, you escaped communism, did you not?
Correct.
So when you see
this in 1974.
So when you see what's happening in the streets of America right now, what's your observation? Because I mean, you escaped that, and now to see it here in America.
I would never caught million years that I see American turn this way today, Todd. Ever, this is the most beautiful country, people country. You can do whatever you want. Why you want to tear it down? If you want to go lift the communists, if you want to turn this American to communists, go. Go to Russia. Go to North Korea. Go to Vietnam. Go. Nobody stop you. If that's why you want to live, this is America, for God's sake. We work too hard. Get where we are today.
You know, Quinn, it goes, it's what is old is new again. And I know that Ronald Reagan, John Wayne, William F. Buckley Jr., the great really creators, the modern day founding fathers of the conservative movement, they were fighting the communists back in the 50s and 60s, and they were warning everybody. And here we are again, fighting that battle once again. And the reality is that the communists got control of our schools. And that's the problem. And that's the Soviets, the old Soviets, they knew that to destroy America, it was not going to be a physical war. It would be a war of the minds, a war of ideologies. And we completely dropped the ball there. So is it salvageable? Yeah, we're going to have to work our butts off. And let me say this, and Quinn, thank you for that call, and God bless you. And folks, let me tell you something about Quinn. This woman came here in the 1970s as a refugee. And her family, they are just incredible business people now in Texas, living their American dream. And when we have people on this program that escape communism and they're warning us about what's happening in our nation now as they see the rise of the communist, you better pay very close attention to that. But look, here's the reality. And Eric Trump said this in his speech over the weekend. Yeah, we love talking about running for the Senate and running for Congress. We need people running on the local level. We're talking about city councils, school boards, mayors. Those are vitally important if we are going to take back our communities. I mean, it's really that simple. All right, Quinn, thanks for that call. We love our great listeners in Texas and all over this great nation. Hour two of the big show coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on this hour. Wow. I was, going back to President Trump, and there are so many major elections that are popping up, and we're following a good number of them. Of course, we've got the Virginia gubernatorial race and all the state elections in Virginia and the Commonwealth, and over the weekend, just horrible racist stuff being hurled at Winsome Sears. It's just unacceptable what she's having to deal with over in Virginia. Coming from the left, by the way, then you've got New Jersey, and New Jersey is on the cusp of turning red. So we're following that race, and we're going to be talking to the Republican running there in New York City. It is a complete mess. You've got Zohran Mamdani, who is now being photographed with one of the co-conspirators of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. We're going to get to more of that story in just a little while. And, of course, we're also paying very close attention to what's happening in the state of California, where Steve Hilton is running as a Republican to be the next governor of the state of California. And it was funny. We're going to bring Steve in just a second, but I was in Anaheim over the weekend anchoring or emceeing, rather, the Pacific Justice Institute Celebration of Justice, their big gala. Eric Trump was there. John Voight was there. And so we're sitting in the green room, and the three of us are just having this conversation about California politics. And John Voight says that Steve Hilton really, really does have a very good shot at winning the race. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, Steve Hilton. Steve, I hope that makes you happy. John Voight is a huge fan of yours.
Oh, yes. No, I love John. He's great. He actually is someone I've met over the years, and it's wonderful to hear him say that. I greatly appreciate that. It's wonderful to have his support, and it's looking good, honestly, Todd. You know, we're doing well. It's early. I'm the opposite of complacent. I never take anything for granted. And the election, you know, the primaries in June, the general election next November. Right now, I'm clearly the leading Republican in the polls. In one of the polls, I was actually leading all the Democrats as well. Now, one of those, the person right behind me was Katie Porter. So I don't know how long that'll last. But here's the point. It's just so clear and increasingly clear to so many people that we need change in California because we have the worst results on absolutely everything that matters. Unbelievably, it's an amazing thing to pull off, actually, the feat that Gavin Newsom and the Democrats have pulled off after 15 years of one-party rule. At the same time, to have the highest unemployment rate in America, the highest poverty rate in America, the highest taxes in America, the highest cost for gas, electricity, housing, rent, the worst business climate in America, according to Chief Executive Magazine, voted on every year in an annual survey, the worst results for third grade reading in America, the worst homelessness crisis by far. It's amazing to have pulled it off. Everything that matters, the worst in the nation. As I often say, well, I see people at my events, they wear MAGA hats. And so I think we need for Gavin Newsom to invent a MUGA hat, most useless governor in America.
Oh, well, that's there's no doubt about that. Now, just to be clear, Steve Hilton, because you know how the media is, they love digging for dirt. You've never told any of your assistants to get the blank out of your shot, right? Is that true?
Although I have got to say I've had great fun doing that at my events all week, right. I was also in Orange County at the weekend doing an event with a big radio station, their annual kind of get together with the listeners, and I had great fun with the host saying exactly that once I got on the stage.
Oh my gosh, she's a terrible candidate, and she's the best the Democrats have.
Well, we are hearing that they are trying to draft another one. Now, here's another beauty, as the president would say, that they're trying to get into the race. Wait for it. the person that they're wanting to run to save the day in California, this is Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat machine, are lining up Alex Padilla. So if you remember him,
he's the
U.S. senator who made a fool of himself barging into Kristi Noem's press conference in that ridiculous stunt in Los Angeles. He's the one that they're trying to bring in to replace Katie Porter.
It's really just unbelievable, and I'm looking at some of the polls, the new Zogby poll. They've got you leading the Republicans and nearly all the Democrats in the race, and your numbers are strong, Steve. And it's just going to be, will the Republican Party get it together? Will they coalesce behind some candidates here so, you know, we don't end up, you know, we don't end up shooting ourselves in the foot, which is about, that's about to happen in New York City.
It's a very important point because in California, we have a top two system, which is ridiculous. But there you are. There's many things ridiculous about California that I'm going to be wanting to change when I'm governor. However, as the you know, we've got the system we have, and we have to win using the current system. We can't change it until we win. And so the top two system means that in the primary in June, voters will have all the candidates on the ballot all together, and they just vote for their favorite choice. And the top two go through to the general election, regardless of party. And in fact, in many races in California, this is why they've done it. You've ended up with two Democrats in the final. So voters don't even get a choice, even though regularly for the last 20 years, since the last time a Republican won statewide, if you actually look beneath the hood, the average share of the vote for Republican statewide candidates is nearly 42%. So this is a much more Republican state than people think. And yet in many of these races, Republican voters don't even have a Republican candidate to choose from. They have one of two Democrats. And so it's very important we get a Republican in the top two. This system is really hard to work with because it all depends on the math, you know, how many other candidates there are and so on. And so getting behind one candidate is very important. And actually, that's why, we all feel that responsibility, honestly. There's a couple of us running, and we talk to each other. We know each other. It's a race. We're competitive. I'm leading the field right now. But we, by the time, you know, in good time for the primary, it's going to be very important to get behind one candidate. Of course, my plan is for that to be me.
Well, I think what's interesting about, you know, this Zogby poll is, and I appreciate them doing this because they pulled out the issues and they wanted to see, you know, what this horse race would look like after the messaging. And you are winning that race right now. That's 29% compared to Katie Porter at 23. Of course, the big issue is the undecideds, which still are pretty high, 23% voters undecided. That tells me that you've got to get the message out there. And it's a big challenge because it's such a big state.
Exactly. That's the point. Look, that's why I say it's early in one sense. Look, for anyone who's run a real race, or being involved in one, particularly in a state as big as California, the biggest in the nation, the fourth biggest economy in the world, it's just, you know, 13 different media markets. It's just a big, big state. It's the race that's second only to running for president in its scale. And so it is, in one sense, not early because you've got to build a machine and you've got to build an operation and a volunteer network, all those things from scratch. It's a startup, like every campaign is. But also, for a lot of normal people, as it were, who are not following politics closely, it's very early. They're not paying attention. We've got this ridiculous gerrymandering ballot initiative, Gavin Newsom scheme to rig the elections that's taking up a lot of the oxygen right now, Prop 50. That's being voted on as we speak, and the election is in November. But we do, and so there are a large number of don't knows for the governor's race. That's exactly right. But that's my job, to get out there and tell the story of change. And my message is very simple and very practical, and it's focused on the things that are just making life so hard for regular working people. This is what's happened now after 15 years of one-party rule. We've ended up with this totally corrupt system, which has meant that the rich get richer, but regular working people get completely screwed in California, and that's where I'm running to change. Mm. Because we've got to, and it's simple things. Instead of what we have now, which is $5 gas heading even higher, because of their insane climate agenda, we're going to get rid of all that so we can have $3 gas. Cut your electric bills. Instead of having this insane obsession with wind and solar power, we're going to use the abundant natural gas that we have here in California to generate electricity, then we can bring costs down. instead of the situation where we just can't build anything anymore in California because of the unions and the environmental laws and everything, and we're going to be able to build the single-family homes that people want. We're going to end the war on single-family homes. Instead of this nonsense where they want everyone to live in apartments with no parking, everyone take transit. No, that's not how Californians want to live. And so we can open that all up so we can restore the California dream of a home of your own that you can afford. These are the simple, practical things that resonate with people way beyond just the Republican voter. This is what everyone wants, just normal people in California. But these politicians, they're so used to being in control in California. That's why that interview with Katie Porter was so revealing. The arrogance and the entitlement there. This is what you get after 15 years of one-party rule. They think they'll be there forever. There's no consequences to their actions. They can do whatever they want, and they'll still be reelected. Well, they're going to get a shock next year.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident I can win.
Steve Hilton joining us, ladies and gentlemen, running for governor of California, leading in the polls. I don't know if you caught Arnold Schwarzenegger. He sat down with Bill Maher on Friday night, and he just ripped Gavin Newsom a new one on the Prop 50 measure, calling it a big scam. And it's got to be good to get, you know, Schwarzenegger. Any chance, have y'all had any conversations thus far? Of course, Schwarzenegger served what is the 38th governor of California.
Yes. I know Arnold. I've known him for years. I know his team. We've talked about this race. I think it's going to be early for him to make any kind of endorsement. But I know them very well, and I think we'll be fine. But I think that actually we've just got to focus on right now, everyone in California, we've got to focus on defeating this ballot initiative. The other really important thing, and I was out with some friends and colleagues over the weekend campaigning on this, it's not just no on Prop 50. It's actually, there's a very important thing going on right now, which is we're collecting signatures for a ballot initiative to put voter ID on the ballot next year. And that's very important because if we get voter ID on the ballot next November in California, that's going to help bring out the Republican voters we need. It's a real driver of turnout. And of course, in a midterm election, turnout is what it's all about. And so no on 50 right now, get voter ID on the ballot, go out there with a strong message. The other thing I just want to say is Gavin Newsom, I mean, it's gone beyond a joke. This story about him closing down the I-5 freeway this weekend, causing actual pain and suffering to Californians purely for a partisan political stunt to try and blame Trump for the chaos. This is Gavin Newsom's Bridgegate, and I think he's gone too far. Up till now, he's been, as I've said, we don't really have a governor in California right now. We have a social media manager who's just running around posting dopey things on the internet. But now he's taken it to a level where he's hurting Californians. I've spoken to people this weekend that weddings were disrupted. It's a Saturday. They closed the only main freeway between Orange County and San Diego. Weddings were disrupted. Parents couldn't watch their kids in football, college football. Businesses disrupted, losing thousands of dollars. It's gone too far. And purely to try and blame Trump for chaos. It was outrageous. And I've said, Gavin Newsom should, if he had any decency, he would resign. He would resign right now because he is obviously not interested in being governor of California. His only focus is running for president. That is unacceptable.
Steve, we got to leave it there, my friend. Where can people go if they want to get more information about the campaign, being a part of it?
Thank you so much. SteveHiltonForGovernor.com, F-O-R, SteveHiltonForGovernor.com.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Hilton. And, Steve, we'll get you back on. Great work out there. Good luck to you out on the campaign trail.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much, Todd. Cheers.
All right. Good guy right there, Steve Hilton. SteveHiltonForGovernor.com. He is leading in the polls, but that big number, the undecided, is 23%. And that's where it's going to be tough. But the good news here, if the Republican Party of California will get behind Steve and give him the juice he needs, and what does he need? He's got to have visibility. They're going to have to be advertising campaigns. They're going to be billboards, door-to-door, the whole nine yards. And if they can do that, there's a very good chance that Steve Hilton could be the next governor of California. And it could be the first step in eliminating one-party rule in that state. And it's every time I go to California, it's such a beautiful place, and the weather is amazing, and the people are kind. But man, are they oppressed right now. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, this crazy story out of Augusta, Georgia, where a Chick-fil-A, I want to set the scene for you. Four police officers walked into a Chick-fil-A in Augusta, Georgia. It sounds like the start of a joke, right? Three of them white guys and one of them black, all three in uniform. And Chick-fil-A there in Augusta has a policy. If you're on duty as a police officer, you eat free. So sure enough, the cashier gave the three white police officers a free complimentary meal, and they made the black dude pay for it. I'm not kidding. And it wasn't the black guy who raised a stink here. It was his fellow white officers who said, this is not right. Take a listen.
I was kind of humiliated and embarrassed, you know, at the whole situation, because it seemed like it was a racial issue to me.
Clover Police Sergeant Tracy Reed had that experience at a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Augusta, Georgia, while on a work trip a few weeks ago. He and three other CPD officers, all of them white, went into the restaurant for breakfast.
We all came into the restaurant together. We rode together, came in the restaurant together, all had the same uniform on, stood in line together. There was never a time that we were not together while standing in line.
They say all three white officers were offered a complimentary meal, which they say is often offered to law enforcement at the popular restaurant chain. But when Sergeant Reed got to the register, he had to pay.
He said he had to pay for his meal, and it infuriated me. And I told him, I said, you want me to go say something? And he's like, no, I don't want you to cause a scene. But I could tell by the way he looked that, you know, he just looked down at his plate and he looked really embarrassed and humiliated, which really made me mad.
Eventually, Reed wrote this letter to Chick-fil-A corporate demanding the chain retrain employees at the Augusta location and strengthen corporate-wide policies on compliance with civil rights laws. But Reed and the other officers were not satisfied with the response from the Augusta store manager, which included two cards for free meals.
They said that it was perceived that we were embarrassed or that it was a racial incident, which I didn't like, because I know it wasn't perceived. It actually happened.
He's not the only one to perceive it. We all perceived it that way. And it's not even perception. It's what happened.
Yeah, that's not cool at all. As a matter of fact, and the black officer, you know, he paid for his meal. You know, he didn't make a scene because he's not allowed to, you know, wearing uniform. And he couldn't even ask, hey, how come I don't get my meal free? Because that would be asking for a gratuity, which you cannot do in uniform. So the white officer said, you know what? We're not eating here. We're not doing this. Chick-fil-A said, oh, this was just a perception problem, and sent him two coupons to make things right. Yeah, really, Chick-fil-A? Come on. You got to do better. Jeez, Alu. All right, Congressman Tim Burchett, Congressman Self, Dalton Glasscock, Tom Gresham from Gun Talk, just some of the crowd that's going to be with us on our Newsmax show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, everybody. It's going to be jam-packed, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I will be doing an in-depth analysis of Poopgate and the infamous Top Gun video. You're going to want to stick around for that. By the way, speaking of that, our friends at Newsmax have a special offer just for our listeners. PaganThreat.com is the website. That's PaganThreat.com. You know, Charlie Kirk, before he died, wrote the foreword to a new book authored by Pastor Lucas Miles. Pastor Miles is in charge of Turning Point USA Faith. Charlie said that Pagan Threat could actually save America, and he is encouraging Americans to read the book and share the book. Already number one Amazon bestseller. That's pretty awesome. You're going to be able to get Pagan Threat free of charge with a special offer from Newsmax. You're going to save $30. Go to PaganThreat.com. That's right, PaganThreat.com, and you'll be able to get a free copy of the book courtesy of our friends at Newsmax. Also, if you haven't already done so, be sure to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You're going to love that. I use that app all the time. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. He is the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. Steve Gill. Steve, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd, good to be back with you.
You know, it's interesting. There was, I noticed things, and it's just, there's something going on when it comes to Republican politics. I know there's a lot of infighting underway, and I couldn't help but notice there was a big fundraiser in Williamson County over the weekend, and one specific congressman I don't believe I saw there. That would be Andy Ogles.
Yeah, and I have not heard the reasoning behind that. You know, one of the things that Williamson County has is a bit of a split with Jack Johnson, who's the state senator there, who has the support of Marsha Blackburn, and had, you know, the whole lineup of supporters, you know, really across the state, Tim Burch that you mentioned earlier. But Andy Ogles is trying to thread the needle of not wanting to antagonize Gary Humble, who ran against Jack and narrowly lost 4 years ago. He's going to run against Jack Johnson against that state Senate seat. And you have, you know, what I would say is, you know, the right or the far right that are backing Humble. And Andy's trying to kind of navigate not wanting to antagonize either side by not going to that event, apparently. And I'll have to get the details, but I noticed he wasn't there as well, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I also noticed that Congressman David Kusthoff was not in the room when President Trump signed the executive order sending the National Guard to his congressional district. You had everybody but the local congressman there. It was just sort of weird.
And if I just was looking at some of the fundraising totals as members of Congress across Tennessee just filed their Federal Election Commission report. Kusthoff has over $2 million in the bank, so he has nothing to fear other than perhaps fear itself. So I'm not sure what has him occupied to be somewhere else other than that, since that is the hottest topic in Memphis. Tim Burchett has about $700,000, I think, cash on hand. Ogles, his biggest problem is, you know, he's facing not only a Republican primary here in Middle Tennessee from Charlie Hatcher, who is the immediate, having just resigned, Commissioner of Agriculture, the former state veterinarian. He is going to be a very formidable Republican opponent to Andy Ogles in the primary. And Andy's only sitting on about $50,000 cash on hand. He's had two extremely anemic fundraising quarters back-to-back, raising about 50 grand each time, spending about the same amount of money. And then the Democrat who is announced in that race, now it's a district that's probably
right.
10 or 12. It's, you know, Trump carried it by 20. But the Democrat has over $750,000 raised already. So Ogles is in deep trouble in the Republican primary and perhaps in the general as well.
Well, every race counts. Of course, there are 49 other states that have just as equally compelling congressional races going down. And no doubt it is going to be a fierce battle. And a lot of these establishment Republicans are getting primaried, and it's going to be important for the Republicans to play smart politics. And, Steve, I know that Rudy Giuliani just came out and endorsed Curtis Sliwa, who is the Republican running for mayor in New York City. I just don't see that working. I mean, Sliwa got his butt handed to him the last time he ran for mayor, and I'm just shocked the Republicans weren't able to round up somebody that would be more compelling than Curtis Sliwa.
You know, a business guy, somebody in the mold of a Trump or somebody like that that might appeal to some of those moderate Democrats. There are still a few that care about their money, care about their communities in New York. I just think that Sliwa doesn't bring any Democrats or moderates or even moderate Republicans to his side. I don't know that there's enough Republicans in New York City to outnumber the dead Democrats who will vote in this election. So I just don't see a path that Sliwa has, and his ego is keeping him from dropping out. Look, I'm not a huge fan of Cuomo by any stretch of the imagination, but when you've got the choice, and it is a zero-sum game, it is likely either going to be Cuomo or Mamdani. Mamdani is a disaster, and I know a lot of Republicans say, oh, that'd be great because that'll help, you know, damage the Democrats. It'll destroy New York City. It'll probably do damage to Florida and Tennessee and other places as more New Yorkers will become refugees and flee the city. But Sliwa has less than a zero chance of winning.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I'm looking at some of this polling data coming out of CBS News, where you've got a three-way, this is Gotham polling, CBS News is reporting on it, Mamdani at 43%, Cuomo 28.9%, so 29%, and Sliwa at 19.4%, and you've got, literally, you have conservative commentators, and I think they do a disservice when they pull this kind of nonsense, but the headline over at the New York Post is Sliwa within, you know, within striking distance. Of what? What is, he's polling last place in a three-man race.
And again, this is a first-to-the-post race. They don't have a runoff, so if Mamdani gets 44% of the vote, he's the next mayor. All that Sliwa can do is keep votes from going to Cuomo to perhaps beat Mamdani. And again, Cuomo's nothing to write home about. This is the guy that shut down schools, helped kill off enough senior citizens that actually cost New York State an electoral vote or few or two. He's nothing great, but you're looking at a guy who is a communist who's taken pictures next to avowed terrorists versus, you know, Andrew Cuomo.
Exactly right. And so here's the deal. So what they did, this is the Gotham polling and AARP. And here's what they did. They said, all right, well, let's take Sliwa out of it and let's see what that race would look like. Well, it becomes a virtual dead heat. But here's the problem. It's that Andrew Cuomo is so disliked. So he is damaged goods. But damaged goods may be better than having a jihadist communist in the mayor's office at Gracie Mansion.
Well, then what the poll misses right at this point is if you remove Sliwa today, his people won't immediately flock to being for Cuomo. He may be their second choice. He may be their third choice. They will not move that quickly. But if he would drop out today, they would have a chance to take a breath, look at the two candidates that remain, Cuomo and Mamdani, and decide, okay, he's less bad than the other guy. And you have to have a little bit of time for folks to make that transition. I mean, you and I have been looking at polls and politics for a long time. It takes a while for somebody to shift from supporting somebody to somebody else. It happens after primaries as well. In this case, Sliwa, if he wants to save New York City like he claims to be for, his best interest and the best interest of his city is to keep Mamdani from winning at all costs. And his supporters will need not only him dropping out, but also saying, look, hold your nose, vote for Cuomo. There was a race in Louisiana years ago when Edwin Edwards was running against, you know, the Ku Klux Klan guy down there, and there were buttons down in Louisiana because Edwin Edwards was, you know, was a crook and was taking bribes and everything else. There were buttons that said, vote for the crook. It's important. And that's kind of where you are here. Vote for Cuomo. He's a nut, but he'd be our nut.
Well, it's a fair point. And again, Sliwa's support, they're not voting for Mamdani no matter what. So if anything, some of those votes would go to Cuomo. I'm not sure that Sliwa could bring it to himself to get out there and campaign for Cuomo. I really don't. But
it depends on whether he loves New York.
Well,
Mamdani will destroy New York.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the guy is dangerous because he's like Barack Obama. And he's, you know, one of these, he's a very charismatic person, and people are not paying attention. And I think one of the big problems with the conservative media is they released all the intel on this guy like day one. It was like a document dump on day one. And, you know, now I see the New York Post is going back and saying, man, Mamdani is doubling down and wanting to tax, and he does want to do this. He wants to tax white people at a higher rate than minorities in New York City, which, you know, Steve, I'll have to go back and look at the Civil Rights Act. I think that may be racist.
Well, and you're exactly right, Todd. He is a smooth talker, charismatic, decent looking guy. Satan doesn't actually have horns and a tail and red skin. Satan is a smooth talker. He gets people to do what they would not normally do because he's a con man and a smooth talker. That's the evil we have to beware of. Bad guys, con men, don't come up to you and say, oh, yeah, I'm evil and I'm a con man. They use slick talk charisma. We've seen it in politics. We've seen it in business. And we're about to see it again in New York.
We sure are. Wow. We will be watching that race, Steve Gill. We've got to leave it there. TriStarDaily.com. Bookmark the website, ladies and gentlemen. Go check it out. Steve, thank you.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk again.
All right. Yeah, no, this is from the New York Post. Zohran Mamdani is doubling down on his plan to jack up property taxes on richer and whiter neighborhoods. He also asserted that billionaires do not have a right to exist. Mamdani is being dubbed by some as the Fidel Castro of New York. He says that he is not driven by race, except his campaign platform explicitly targets white homeowners. So Mamdani is doubling down on all of this. So all of you white homeowners, you better get ready because you're about to get smacked around once this guy is elected. The New York Post headline, "The Price is White." Very clever there. Very clever. All right, 901-260-5926. Do you let the jihadist communist win the mayor's office to teach New York a lesson? Do you let New York implode, or do you hold your nose, get behind Cuomo, and try to save the Big Apple? What do you do here? I know President Trump is pretty fired up about this. He was asked about it on the flight back from Palm Beach last night. Cut number six, please.
Of Mondami's photo with the 93 World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, no, it's a shame. Look, the Mondami thing is it's a disaster waiting to happen. We can't have a communist in charge of a great supposedly free enterprise, kind of a representative city. So I think it's, if you have a communist mayor, I think it's going to be very tough for him and for the city.
Do you think he should have posted something like this so close to the election?
Oh, I think it's a shame that that particular man is endorsing him and very friendly with him. You can see there's a relationship. He blew up the World Trade Center, right?
Hey, Mr. President.
Didn't the man you're talking about blow up the World Trade Center? And he's friends with Mamdani?
Yeah, he is friends with him and appeared in photos arm in arm smiling. And it's pretty despicable. But this guy was one of the unindicted co-conspirators, also a terrorist apologist. You know, back in 93, and they believe that the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center, they meant for that to actually bring down the building. So they blew it up. They had the bombs in a car and caused all sorts of damage and destruction, but the buildings did not fall. And Mamdani is pals with this imam who is in the Bedford-Stuyvesant Mosque. That's an area of Brooklyn. And the guy's name is Siraj Wahaj. And there they are, just, I'm telling you, grinning from ear to ear. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, nearly 25 years after the Muslims brought down the towers in Lower Manhattan, that you could have a jihadist be elected as mayor of New York City. Did you ever think, when you watched those towers fall, did you ever imagine that we would already be at the point where a jihadist would be elected? Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have some breaking news here. Bernie Sanders has weighed in on Poopgate.
Look, Trump may be crazy, and he may be a liar, and he may do, you describe, I mean, it's hard to imagine a president. I mean, I don't know what world these guys are living in. Mm-hmm. President of the United States dropping feces on an American city.
Right.
All right, they may be all of those things, but this is what they are not. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not. They are good politicians. And they're going to look at, if you think you're why do you think the Republicans are hiding out right now?
Yeah.
Mike Johnson, the speaker, has given them I got them in their fifth week of vacation.
Yeah.
They're not coming to work. You want to negotiate? They ain't there. All right. So I think that when people all over this country are looking at these notices and say, I can't pay a doubling of my health insurance premiums.
Right.
Republicans will understand that and come to the table.
Do you know what?
There you have it. You can't take these people seriously. Anyway, yes, Bernie Sanders, President Trump jumping feces on the libtards in Midtown Manhattan. Let's go to Athens, Georgia. Kim on the line. Hi, Kim. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
We love you from Athens.
Thank you.
Got a suggestion or just would like your thoughts. And I'll start with just something that I noticed in 1995 when I was passing through Denver, Colorado. There was a huge billboard in that city. There were no words on the billboard. On the picture, to the left was a picture of Charles Manson, and on the right was O.J. Simpson. And Denver was making a very loud statement. This is what we think. There were no words. So I just want your opinion. How would that work in New York with Mondani on one side and the guy he's friends with who blew up the World Trade Center on the left, but with a caption, this is the person that helped blow up the World Trade Center, and a subtitle in Spanish. I mean, people have got to wake up.
Yeah, they do. Kim, I like this idea a whole lot. And I think the New York Post is doing a terrific job of leading that charge. You know, people in New York City still read the tabloids. And, you know, they're getting that out, that information out on the front page. I think we just have to hammer this stuff home. These are very bad people. We cannot allow a jihadist to take over the nation's largest city. We just can't do it.
Exactly. I mean, it'll be over for New York.
Yeah, it will be. It will be, Kim. And it troubles me. And it especially troubles me. And as much as we love to give the L's and the G's and the B's, a hard time. They have a right to live their life the way they want to live their life in this country. And I think that could be very short-lived in New York City if this guy is able to take control. I think he's going to target everybody. And that's why all of us need to understand what is at stake here. It is a very, very dangerous thing that is about to happen in New York City. Kim, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. We got to take a break here. All right, can we check on Bernie? I cannot believe it. I cannot believe the president of the United States is defecating on people. He's going number two. Number two, Todd. Number two.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We certainly appreciate you joining us today. So, a couple of stories that I want to get to this hour. The protest over the weekend, you know, one of the things that I found to be fascinating is that not one conservative went out there and shot a weapon. You know, no, there were no conservative snipers. There were no conservatives going up and just manhandling and mobbing people and sucker punching. None of that happened. None of that happened. The leftists were allowed to do their protest, and that's that. Unfortunately, that is not the case for conservatives. But what really disturbed me was the amount of vitriol and hate that was demonstrated throughout all of the protests. I mean, every single one of them. I mean, how many times did you have people wearing the, 8647, calling for the president to be assassinated? You literally had people that were calling for Americans to shoot and kill ICE agents. I want you to listen. This is a man who is purportedly on staff at Wilbur Wright College in the Chicago area. I want you to listen to what he had to say at the Chicago protest yesterday. Cut number three.
You gotta grab a gun. We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system. These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out. This state, the state machinery, that's a full display right there, has to get wiped out.
Ladies and gentlemen, those are direct threats. I mean, you've got a man who is telling a mob of people to go out and shoot and kill ICE agents. Says, got to shoot them, got to wipe them out. Now, we understand that this guy is now being referred to the Justice Department, so hopefully he is already in custody. We can only hope for that. But this is incredibly, incredibly dangerous. By the way, the guy goes by the pronouns, and he's been identified. And again, I've not been able to independently verify, but the reporting is out there that he's been identified. His pronouns are they, them, he, him. So he's one of those folks. And apparently is in the adult education department at Wilbur Wright College in Chicago. That's all the information we have right now. By the way, the college, you would think, at this point would have issued some sort of a statement condemning this man's rhetoric. And then there was another incident, and we have this up on our website, toddstearns.com, and I'd love for you to go there and see the story. We've got a photograph of a morbidly obese woman. She is a school teacher. She is a STEM teacher in a kindergarten, or rather a grade school, an elementary school in Chicago. The name of the school, Nathan Hale Elementary School. And the teacher was standing there, and she was mocking the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So let me set the scene for you, because there's really not much we can play. It's really more visual, but I'll try to describe it. There were all of these protesters out there, and a pickup truck drives by. You have these young guys, and one of them is his body out the window holding a flag that is supporting Charlie Kirk. Nothing profane. It was just, you know, supporting Charlie Kirk. And in the process, as they were driving by, this morbidly obese woman puts her finger, makes a finger gun, and points it to her neck and goes, bang, bang. You know what the police did? They told the boys in the truck to put away their flag, that their flag was not allowed. They were not allowed to have any banners, no Charlie Kirk banners at the No Kings protest. Unbelievable. So now and all of this information is at toddstearns.com, including the video. And so now we understand that the school has released a statement, and they're defending the teacher, and they're saying the conservatives were the ones who provoked the mob. Tensions rose when individuals drove by the protest attempting to provoke participants. Principal Gomez writing, "In a moment of emotion, one of our teachers responded in a way that does not reflect the professionalism and respect that we expect from our staff." Have you always noticed, folks, just step back and think of all these stories we've told you, all of them are educators. All of them are in the school system. These are the people that are influencing your kids. Now, Nathan Hale goes out there and they say, well, we claim to be a place that fosters inclusive and respectful learning environments. Yeah, I don't know about that. It's kind of hard to do when you got a teacher on staff who's celebrating the assassination of somebody who just wanted to engage in a civil conversation. That's insane. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, Memphis, Tennessee, Black Conservative. What's on your mind?
I'm the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher. Good afternoon. You know, what's on my mind is exactly what you're talking about, these radicals. This was nothing but an anti-hate America rally that took place. They're claiming that it was a No King protest. If President Trump can be whatever he wants to be, because what he has went through, his family, his administration has went through with the fake Russia host investigation with Robert Mueller and others, this president can be whatever he wants to be to keep this country safe. So I have no problem with him being the king, if that's what they want him to be, just like I had no problem with King David or King Solomon. So, you know, but these are Looney Tunes in this protest. I seen them over the weekend with all those crazy signs and banners and things of that nature. Can you imagine if all this was said against Barack Obama, the first and a half black president, because Bill Clinton was half black. President. But that's what the black folks call next to his first brother. so he's half black. But at any rate, you know, playing that saxophone. But at any rate, can you imagine if all these things were said about Barack Obama in a protest?
No,
at a Tea Party rally.
Oh my God, we would be in bunkers right now.
It would be over. You know, they'd be protesting, singing in the street, marching, "Kumbaya," and "We Shall Overcome," and all kind of other stuff. But you know, they can attack this president, and you know, with all these kind of false accusations and condescending remarks, and there's no outcry. There should be an outcry from the Republican Party. Should be holding a news press and all these Democrat counties and cities in the aftermath of this crazy No King protest, Hate America protest that took place. And I want to know, Brother Todd, I want to know, this timing for this is pretty ironic. Who planned this? Who timed this? And when was this all planned to have this No King rally?
Protest. Well, you know.
Doing a shutdown.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing was orchestrated. And look, I would not be surprised. The Republicans are losing, or rather the Democrats are losing the narrative. They've lost it. And we're going to play it in a few minutes. We'll play some audio from CNN. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats try to figure out a way to get this through. The Republicans are going to win on this. They're not budging. And the Democrats, they're getting killed right now, black conservative.
Oh, absolutely, they are. I have lots of. Did you hear Biden, press secretary,
KJP?
You know, she can't stomach being a Democrat in the Democrat Party anymore. Who can, you know, deal with what they're talking about? But I'm gonna be down in Ole Miss. I'm gonna be at Ole Miss University next Wednesday. Vice President coming down there to Turning Point at Oxford, Mississippi, and speak with Charlie Clark's wife. So I'm going to be down there. But
Black conservative, if that's the case, you know, we're doing our show from down there, so you're going to have to come and you'll have to be on the show.
But can I do some book signing?
We can do some book signing. We can do that. By the way, you have fans on our Facebook live stream. They say, "Black conservative, we wish you'd come to a Republican Party of Shelby County meeting. We could use your strong voice on our team."
Well, I would definitely consider that. I tried to give them a call the other day, the Republican Party, when that crazy county clerk forgot her name over there, you know, the one that cussed out the sheriff.
Oh, Tammy Sawyer, yes.
Yeah, she's crazy and cuckoo bird. But, she the same one, you know, that made that accusation about little white kids watching scary movies in the movie theater. I don't know how the heck they elect her, but like people
it's
like
true.
Priests, I guess. But you know, I don't know where these people come from. But I think that there should be an outcry from Republicans about all these accusations. I don't know how Democrats can stand with, you know, their constituents on this. It's just crazy.
I just don't get it.
They do it in the middle of a shutdown. You know, these people claim, "Oh, we're out of work. We're not. We can't provide, you know, food. You know, we can't pay our mortgage, whatever." But they can protest on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. They can indeed. Black conservative, we got to leave it there, my friend. But we will see you. Look for us. We'll be over at Ole Miss.
I'll be there.
All right. All right. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. The black conservative, one of our regulars here on the show. Dylan, I've got to play that again. I want to hear Bernie Sanders. He is so enraged over President Trump and Poopgate.
Trump may be crazy, and he may be a liar, and he may do you describe. I mean, it's hard to imagine a president. I mean, I don't know what world these guys are living in. Mm-hmm. President of the United States. Dropping feces on an American city.
Right.
All right. They may be all of those things, but this is what they are not. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not. They are good politicians. And they're going to look at it. If you think you're why do you think the Republicans are hiding out right now?
Yeah.
Mike Johnson, the speaker, has given them I got them in their fifth week of vacation.
Yeah.
They're not coming to work. You want to negotiate, they ain't there. All right, so I think that when repeat people all over this country are looking at these notices and say, I can't pay a doubling of my health insurance premiums,
right,
Republicans will understand that and come to the table.
You know,
for the love of lettuce, the man is defecating on us. He's defecating on the Democrats. I never in my entire life would have ever thought that a president of the United States would take a dump on the American people. He is pooping and pooing. It has to come to an end. For the love of God, somebody call Shorman. Somebody get Mr. Shorman on the line right now. We'll be right back. Cleveland, Tennessee. Let's go to Debbie. Cleveland, by the way, home to Lee University. Hi, Debbie. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Third time caller. Love talking to you, Todd. Regarding the New York City nonsense, you know, with Mandami with the 9/11 doof, I'm thinking the people who are voting or wanting to vote for him are kids that were like just little, just born, very young, right? So they've only heard what people have been saying. I'm wondering, where is Lisa Beamer? Where are some of the spouses and the survivors from 9/11 who have like real life experience of going through that? Like, what if they did some exposés on what happened and exposed what this could be terrorists could do to New York City?
Debbie, I think it's a terrific idea. The challenge has been since 9/11, and these decisions were made very early on, that the media would control the narrative. They would stop showing the planes flying into the buildings. They really wanted to minimize the impact of what happened on that day. And I stood totally against it then, and I still believe that was one of the most horrible things that they could have done, because it really undermined why we were fighting, who we were fighting over there, but it also prevented future generations from understanding the atrocities that these men committed in the name of their religion, Debbie.
Exactly. They removed it because they didn't want it to upset us.
Well, that's what they said. Debbie, yeah. That's what they said. But no, I think the reason was more nefarious.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said that it didn't want to. I knew they wanted to change history,
mm-hmm.
and they're changing it now. When that happened, my son for the first day rolled over, so he was that small. My other one was 2 years old. She went to the university, completely indoctrinated. I mean, but it's that age group. I don't know. It's just so sad. And then you have Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib strategically placed. I mean, do people not see this? Wake up.
The sheer audacity of these people, you know, leaving their war-torn countries. We took them in through the graciousness of the American people. And then they turn around and they spit on our country and they tell us that our country is the problem with the world. I just say, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You need to go right back to wherever you came from.
Exactly. We're welcoming, but we have got to use discernment. But
you're right.
We are different than other we's. So, you know, you can say it as much as you can. But God's in control. He's the king. So, you know what? Stay close to him.
I love that. Those are great words to live by. Debbie, good hearing from you. Debbie from Cleveland, Tennessee. Great town. If you've ever been there, there's a great little place. I know we've got some people over there. I believe it's called Jenkins. And I'm just going to tell you, they have the best chicken salad in America and sweet tea. Man, they've got some good sweet tea. Jenkins. Now, they used to have a place. If there's anybody from Cleveland listening, there used to be a great little sort of like diner, burger joint place called the Rebel. And I remember when I went to school at Lee, we used to go over to the Rebel all the time. It was sort of like the place to go in Cleveland, Tennessee. Also, the gateway to the Ocoee River. Dylan, you ever been whitewater rafting?
I was going to say, yeah, that's where we go.
Yeah, that's it. The Ocoee River.
I have very fond memories of falling out of the rafts on the Kobe River.
I followed out of every time you hit that first rapid, I'm out, and it's like a small rapid. Yes. I'm like, what happened here? This is not good. But it's a lot of fun. So anyway, if you're looking for a great family vacation, I'm telling you, East Tennessee, the Ocoee River, they've got so much. The forest here, Big Frog Mountain is over there. So lots of crazy stuff going on in East Tennessee. May I just say it was one of the worst football weekends in recent memory.
You're not wrong about that.
Wow.
Both of our teams lost.
Everybody I root for lost. Yeah. Even the Memphis Tigers.
So got sad.
Whooped by UAB. There were more people on the field than in the stands. Jeez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926. We've got Tina on standby. Your calls as well. This is the Todd Stern Show. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, you know, Christmas is literally, what, right around the corner? Well, we got to do Halloween first. May I just recommend something to you? My newest book is literally a perfect stocking stuffer because it's a smaller book. It's sort of like a gift book, and it fits perfectly into somebody's Christmas stocking, and I think it will make a terrific Christmas present. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And it also pairs well with my other devotion book called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Draw. They're literally the same size book. And you can't go wrong with either one of these. They make wonderful Christmas gifts, especially for your church friends, maybe your pastor, your pastor's wife. They would love, love, love this book. And you can get a copy. And I'm just going to tell you, this does not help me out one way or the other. If you buy it from me and I autograph it, it costs more only because we don't have the free shipping like Amazon has. So I would recommend just getting it from Amazon. You're going to find it much cheaper. Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, you'll be able to get a copy of it. But really, Amazon is the best way, and it's the most effective way, and you'll have it like the next day or the day after. But get yourself some of those books that make wonderful Christmas gifts. You will not go wrong. People are going to love it. We have gotten so many. You know, it's interesting. When you go back and look at all the book reviews, we have gotten more positive book reviews on Star Spangled Blessings than any other book that I've written. So thank you for that. And we're just excited. I love that little book. It's a fun read. All right, let's go to North Georgia. Tina, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Tina. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I'm just kind of in a twist, and I can't seem to sort this out at all. First of all, there's only one person on the New York City ballot that's not evil, and that's Curtis Sliwa. And although I understand your point, and others have made the same point, that there's no way he's ever going to get elected, but I also wonder, what was Rudy Giuliani known for before 9/11? Would he have become like America's mayor if he hadn't been for 9/11?
Well,
what do you think about that?
He was a very successful prosecutor, U.S. attorney, and it was, you know, Rudy Giuliani earned his claim to fame by going after the mob back in the 70s and early 80s. And, oh, geez, Alou, there was a big-time gangster, John Gotti. He was a part of that whole era of going after the gangsters and became a very popular U.S. attorney and a tough-on-crime guy. And I don't know if he would have, to be honest with you, Tina. He did a great job cleaning up New York City. Times Square was a mess. You had the nudie bars and a lot of riffraff. And Giuliani went in there and he cleaned it all up. And I think he was certainly beloved. But again, he was, you know, term limited out. Hello.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Tina.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. If I was a New Yorker, I couldn't bring myself to vote for either Andrew Cuomo or the other one.
Tina, it is a tough sell, and I will say this about Sliwa. Sliwa would be your typical New Yorker. Again, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying he's would certainly be a liberal or a rhino. What really bothered me about Sliwa, he had the opportunity during that debate to say, you know what, I would welcome the National Guard coming to New York City, but he stood alongside the other three, and that really disappointed me. That was a missed opportunity.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and Sliwa, and you remember him, I mean, Tina, going back to the 70s, he's the guy that started the Guardian Angels because there was so much crime and violence in the subway system.
Right, and I've loved him ever since.
Mm-hmm. No, he's...
Even though he doesn't have the name recognition at all. I understand that, too.
Yeah, it's just tough. And you would be surprised. I think he does have the name recognition. I just don't think people think he can be mayor. I don't think that's it. And again, it's just, you know, he's sort of been on again, off again. You know, he didn't support Trump in 2016 or 2020. And he's definitely not a friend of the Trump administration.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, so I haven't been really been keeping up on it.
Yeah, it's
good to know.
No, I hear you. And again, but he may be the only shot they've got. And I think it says a lot about the lack of Republican support in New York City that he was the best the party has. I mean, a 71-year-old who got thumped in the last election.
Right.
All right.
It just Cuomo just turns my stomach.
Oh, that guy Sleaze. Yeah, no doubt about it. But again, Sliwa has kind of fashioned himself as a populist. What I think is interesting, in 2013, he actually endorsed John Castamatidis, who is a friend of mine. And Castamatidis he's a billionaire and owns grocery stores there in the area, Tina. Okay. So Castamatidis, just about 15 minutes ago, came out and begged Sliwa to drop out of the race. And Castamatidis,
I don't like that idea either.
Yep. Castamatidis is a rock-solid Republican and big supporter of Trump. Back in 2019, Sliwa said that he, quote, hated Donald Trump and called him a screwball and a crackpot.
Okay. Well, yeah. I didn't know that.
It's tough. All right, Tina, thank you for calling in. And it is very tough. And we just need the Republicans to play smart politics here. That's really what this is all about. We've got to make sure that we are playing smart politics. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play this audio real quick here. I told you I was going to get around to this, and time kind of got away from me. This is CNN talking about the new polling out on this Schumer shutdown, brand new polling out, and it has not hurt President Trump's public support one bit. Take a listen to Cut 9.
About Donald Trump shutdowns, net approval rating, we're talking 20 days into it. In 2018/2019, Donald Trump's net approval rating was already falling. The shutdown was eating into his popular support. It was down 3 points already at this particular point and would fall considerably more. It was very much on the decline. You come over to this side of the screen, this shutdown hasn't eaten into Donald Trump's support at all. His net approval rating is actually up a point in terms of his popular support. So the bottom line is this. The first shutdown during Trump's first term, 2018-2019, was hurting Donald Trump. This one is not hurting him at all. There's no real reason Donald Trump might say, at least when it comes to popular support, I want to get out of this shutdown.
I love these northern voices, the accents. They kill me. They slay me. Let's go to David, Gainesville, Georgia. You know, David, you and I, us folks down here south, we don't have accents, but everybody else, they've got some pretty strong accents up there.
I hear you there, Todd. Hey, Todd, why can't Trump use some of that tariff money to pay our ICE agents? They're wondering what to do with it all. And let us pay these people that's not getting paid during this shutdown. And one more thing I want to tell you, have we talked about it before? The time change is coming up, and I still say move it 30 minutes and leave it alone. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on the time change thing. But let me go back to this tariff for just a moment, because it's a great question you asked, David. Now, because the president is paying the U.S. military, but they're doing that with money that was already in the Pentagon budget that was not being used. So that money was there. So they had the authority to do that. Only Congress has the authority to allocate tariff revenue. So President Trump doesn't have any legal authority you know, to step in and say, okay, guys, we're going to use the tariff money to pay ICE. He's not allowed to do that under law, David.
Didn't know that.
Only Congress, that's the role of Congress. They get to allocate that money, not the president.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know, now I see. But just don't forget that time now. Just move it 30 minutes. Just leave it alone. The good Lord will take care of the rest.
I love that. I love it, David. All right. Good talking to you, my friend. And let's go to Eileen in Cleveland, Georgia. Yes, there are two, Tennessee and Georgia. Yeah, there's also one in Ohio, but, you know, we're sort of partial to Georgia and Tennessee. Hi, Eileen. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to remind everybody about the former president that we had that threatened nukes on American citizens. So if you'd rather have poop or nuke, take your choice. I know me, I'd rather have to be honest. But I did want to discuss Curtis Sliwa and about his not wanting the National Guard. I don't think we would need him if he was the mayor because he's a tough on crime person. So maybe he's thinking that he won't need the National Guard because he will crack down on what's going on right now. And as for him not liking Trump, I don't think that really matters. You don't have to like him. You just have to run your city in the best possible, safest way that you can. So whether you know that I love Trump, but I'd rather see Curtis Sliwa as mayor than any commie. But isn't there a businessman, a Democrat, who's also running? He had put himself in the race. But no, nobody's talking about him.
No, we've got, I mean, the top three are Mamdani at 40-some-odd percent. Then you've got Cuomo, I think, 28%. And then Sliwa, whose support is in the teens. So, Eileen, what is it going to take to get, you know, Sliwa's numbers up, even just a little bit?
Todd, I am of the belief that New Yorkers are not going to vote for Mamdani, that the press is pushing him. The Democrat socialists are pushing him, but I'm a New Yorker, you know, former New Yorker who relocated to the beautiful state of Georgia. I just don't think that people are going to vote for him. They're just pushing him like they did Hillary, like they did Kamala. And look what happened there. I just, in my heart, I don't think New Yorkers are that foolish.
Eileen, you have to refresh my memory. You mentioned about dropping bombs. Who was that Democrat? Who was it that said that?
That was Biden. Remember, he said, remember when he said they have we have nukes?
That is true. That's true.
Yes.
I forgot about
that. He said that. Yes, I didn't forget. I'll never forget that because he threatened to drop nukes. He said we might have guns, but he's got nukes.
I love it.
Yeah,
who is better than nukes? All right, Eileen. Eileen, always a pleasure talking to you. And by the way, it's autumn. Are you guys getting a good leaf? You know, the leaf changing there. Are they changing colors?
Not by us so much, but up by Clayton. Clayton and the North Carolina border. Dillard, Clayton, they're up there. It's gorgeous. Here, we're just getting a lot of fallen leaves.
Oh, dear. Well, that is one of the most beautiful parts of the country during the fall when all the leaves are changing colors. And if you're up in Dillard, you got to go by what, the Dillard House? Is that still around?
Oh, yeah. They changed owners. But, yeah, they're going to be doing a resort and all up there. They're working on everything.
Oh, so fancy.
My son works there. So if anybody goes there, just ask for Lugo.
Lugo, all right, or yes. Eileen's boy.
That's right.
I'm here for Eileen's boy. What?
His name is Chris.
Chris. All right. Well, there you go. I've got to get over to. I haven't been over there for the leaf season in a long, long time. But I got to get over there. Eileen, it's good hearing from you. Don't be a stranger.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
There is an election going on now. A public service, and it's not being really advertised, but these are the kind of elections that the Republicans don't go out for, But you have to remember, local, you have to vote. We have to vote for the Republican because we know the Democrats are off the rails.
Yes, ma'am. We'll check in with our friends. We'll check in with our friends over on at WDUN, and we'll get the lowdown on that. Eileen, got to run, my friend. Thank you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to Amazon and get yourself 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 copies of Star Spangled Blessings. Again, they make terrific Christmas gifts. We'll be right back, everybody. You know, I just thought Eric Trump did a terrific job over the weekend. We were doing the Pacific Justice Institute Celebration of Justice Gala. They have asked me to MC this thing for a year, I think 10 years now. And it really is a lot of fun and really have enjoyed meeting a lot of the regular folks there at the staff. Brad Dacus, who's a regular on this program, and they're just doing some incredible work. Really around the country, standing up for people, fighting for freedom and liberty and family rights. And what I respect about Pacific Justice Institute, they could have moved out of California, but they decided not to. They not only stayed, but they've expanded their footprint there in the Golden State. And so we appreciate them. And they throw one heck of an amazing gala. It is just first class all the way. They had about 900 people there, sold out. They had a waiting list of people, and Eric was the keynote speaker. So we got to spend about 15, 20 minutes in the green room just chilling out, and he was signing copies of his new book, Under Siege, which, by the way, we believe is going to hit the New York Times bestseller list. It's a massive, over 140,000 copies sold. But, you know, the takeaway from Eric and the conversations and just hanging out is that he's just a regular guy. I mean, just that really there are no heirs about him aside from the Secret Service guys that were surrounding him. He had one staffer with him, and she got him from point A to point B. She did a terrific job. Great staffing there. And after it was over with, and he scooted out. And a lot of times, you know, these, especially the Fox celebs, you know, they just immediately leave. They don't like to interact with the audience. You know, they want to get their check, and they're boom, they're gone. And I usually when I'm emceeing, and Dylan, this is how dedicated I am, you know, because they have a seat for me there, and they bring out the food, and it must have been like a 13-ounce steak, a big, huge chunk of beef. Did not eat it. Could not eat it.
You couldn't?
I couldn't. I had a job to do. So I didn't want to get up there, and I'm announcing the winner of the, you know, the raffle contest, and all of a sudden I have to burp. You know, nobody wants to hear that.
I love that's what you're worried about.
Oh, big time. No, only because it's happened before. You have
right.
You gotta stifle the pelch.
You can save it for later. Save the steak.
So anyway, I thought, you know what? I'm gonna run over to they have a beautiful little restaurant there. So at the hotel, we were at the JW Marriott, which is right around the corner from Disney. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to sneak up there after the event. And I go up there, and I'm waiting for the server to get me seated. And I look, and there's Eric hollers at him. I didn't even see him. He's like, hey, Todd. And I turn around. He was like, oh, it was Eric, and he was having dinner there with his assistant. And the guy he's an iced tea drinker.
No way.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I noticed.
He's
like,
one of us.
He's one of us. And he loves Memphis. Of course, the family has been so generous to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, so he knows all about us. I'm going to have to tell the story. You have to remind me tomorrow. I've got to tell the airplane story because it's hilarious. But anyway, God bless Eric Trump. He's the real deal, and he just hit it out of the ballpark yesterday. Raised a lot of money for PJI, too. Folks, got to leave it there. We'll see you 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax tomorrow, noon Eastern, right here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Be good, America.